This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are back talking with Donna Anderson. She's author of Love Fraud, her website, lovefraud.com. We're talking about individuals very similar to what we see in a lot of the cases that we cover here, whether it be the Murdaughs, whether it be Brian Walsh. People that have the ability to suck healthy, otherwise healthy, good people in, make them believe their BS, and then suddenly, oh my gosh, you've been in a relationship or married to this person for so long, and all you're like, who are you? What is this? Because it's applicable to so many of the cases that we talk about, and it's applicable to real life, life that, you know, you and me live. These people are out there, and I would guess most of us who've lived a little while can probably say at least one point in time, someone you've dated or been in a relationship with probably fits some of these standards or traits if you've been in a handful of relationships in your life. And it's scary. It's scary how far some of these things can go, especially when we, you know, look at the accusations against Murdaugh or Brian Walsh and things like that. We were talking earlier, Donna, about when they kind of feel that comfort level, when the veil gets pulled back and suddenly they can be their true self. Did you have that in your relationship?
I actually didn't see that. And keep in mind, I was only there for 2.5 years. So uh-huh. Plenty of people are, you know, much longer. So, I actually did not see a total flip in his personality. I mean, there would be times where he would all of a sudden be angry. He certainly had no concern about my trepidation that I was running out of money. You know, I would bring it up and he said, you know, we were $50,000 in debt yesterday. We're $50,000 in debt today. Who cares? What's the difference? That was his attitude. And so that was all very upsetting. So it actually wasn't until I discovered that, he had cheated on me. And even then, I didn't realize the scope of the disorder. It wasn't until I actually contacted some of the other women, because, you know, I left him. I found all this information, all these papers all over my house that I had, you know, respected his privacy before, never looked at his documents. And I start looking at it and go, oh, my God, you know, look at all this stuff. So I contact one of the other women and I said, I'm Donna Anderson. I'm James Montgomery's wife. And I'd like to suggest that you don't give him any more money. And she says to me, it's too late. I already gave him $92,000.
Wow.
So, yes. So that was when I realized that my entire marriage was a financial scam.
So the evidence was there, but you were being a respectful person to the other. And you know, everybody has their own privacy and that's fine. I mean, it's not usually a super healthy thing to be snooping through everybody's stuff. That's usually a sign of distrust, but you trusted and you felt that this person wouldn't do those sort of things to you. How good was he? I mean, was there any signs that there's these other women that he's involved with? I mean, how did he get away with doing those things for those 2.5 years? Without your knowledge, and I'm in no way blaming you. I'm just curious as to how good he was at this.
Well, one of the things that he did was he had his own office that I actually built for him in my house. He had the office in the basement, and the guy was a pack rat. I mean, there was stuff all over the place, boxes. It seemed like he wanted to see everything he owned. Everything was out, and I didn't want to go down there. You know, sure. So. What a deal, you know, so he had this stuff all over the place and I wasn't looking at it. So that was one thing. And then he established this pattern fairly early on of going on these business trips, you know, that just happened to go over weekends and things like that and having to be places early in the morning. And, you know, it got to the point where I was glad to see him go, you know, because yeah. It was like annoying. And, So he did a lot. And plus, I wasn't the only person that he targeted. Like, one of his things was that he claimed to be a Vietnam veteran. And, you know, this is when I first met him. This is what he did to essentially impress me. Told me about he was originally from Australia. And although he lived near me, it wasn't a long distance relationship. And so he told me about, you know, being in Vietnam. He shared documents about his heroism in Vietnam. He said that he won the Victoria Cross, which is the highest military honor in Australia. He came here and joined the Vietnam Veterans Association. He was the keynote speaker at various Veterans Day programs and also for Memorial Day programs. He went and talked to school kids. The guy was never in the military. He made it all up.
Did he actually go and do these speeches? Or were these things where he was doing them and he's telling you that he's doing them in other cities?
I was there.
Oh, gosh.
I went with him twice when he spoke to kids, school kids.
So he was even able to convince all these other people of his fraudulent background.
Yes.
So what is going on in someone's mind? When do they actually believe these stories? In his mind, is it computing that I was a Vietnam veteran? Or is there some sort of, I mean, people believe their stories. People can tell themselves stories to justify so many things. It's not always that those stories are accurate, but there may be some hair of truth to it. Like, well, I might not be a Vietnam veteran, but I was almost drafted and a bunch of my friends went, or, you know, something where there's like some sort of association to reality, but not quite there.
The thing about psychopaths, and my ex-husband was diagnosed as a psychopath after the fact by one of my colleagues, they are not delusional. Okay, I mean, there are other people, you know, who are psychotic, who are, you know, hallucinating and seeing hearing voices and things like that.
Yeah.
Psychopaths are not delusional. They know exactly what they are doing. They just feel entitled to do whatever they want in order to get what they want.
So it's free game. It's basically, well, it's on them if they don't catch me, but if I can keep getting away with this, why not?
Exactly. I mean, you know, their attitude is that if you're dumb enough to believe me, that's on you, not me.
Okay. Wow. What about when they do get caught? What kind of reactions do they have when the obvious is pointed out to them? If you were to say, look, I can prove you were never this person. You were never in Vietnam. You were never this recipient of this award. How do they react when confronted with reality?
Well, I can tell you how my ex-husband reacted because I did exactly that. Back when I launched Love Fraud in 2005, I was also communicating with an organization in Australia that busted military frauds. So I sent them all the documentation. I mean, he sent me all kinds of stuff, proving that his heroism, proving that he had to go back into the service and all this other stuff. It was all fake. Okay. Everything was fabricated. So we agreed that when I launched Love Fraud, they would launch their information about him on their website. And the media in Australia picked it up, okay, because he had gone back to Australia by this point. So it comes out in the newspaper that here the headline was Meet Major Fraud. and so they told this whole story, you know, about how he's pretending to be military and everything like that. So the reporter called him up, and his response to the reporter was, yes, I was never in the military, but this was all part of a secret government operation to prove how easy it is to impersonate a fraud, and it's all my ex-wife's fault because it was never supposed to be made public.
Oh my gosh. It's just another lie to cover up the other lie.
Right.
It's like when there's smoke, there is fire. If someone is perpetually lying to every person around them, not even necessarily romantic relationships, but just everything, business associates, family members that are not a spouse or a significant other, when someone is lying to literally everyone, is there ever a reason to believe anything that they say? Is there ever moments of truth that come out. I mean, there's one thing that comes to mind right now, and I'm not going to go into the case in any sort of detail, but it's the Alec Murdaugh trial, where it's very much in the last week, he said, I've lied to basically everybody about every financial crime in his family and this and that, but I didn't kill my family, but I didn't kill them. It was just like, how on earth, why would someone believe you when you've just said you've lied to everyone about everything, but not that? Is there ever weight to say, oh, I should believe you because you're really adamant on this one?
That's one of the real skills that a lot of psychopaths have, is their ability to weave the truth with the lies and the exaggerations so that, you know some of it's true, and therefore you deduce that all of it's true.
Yeah.
And that's one of their skills. So I've told many people, you know, you cannot believe anything that they say unless you have independent evidence, not from them, you know, that what they're saying is true. But otherwise, you should doubt everything.
What are some signs, you know, if someone comes up to you, they know what you've been through, they've read the book, they've have experience, and they kind of suspect, I don't know, things are going really good in this relationship. Maybe there's a little inkling that something's off, but it really could truly be explainable. And maybe this person really just is wonderful, but maybe they're not. What would you tell someone to look into, to get answers early on before they're so deep into this thing that it's so hard to get out, to truly find out if is this person a fraud? Is this person a sociopath or whatever other disorder we're talking about here in the family?
The key is that they have an inkling that something is off. Okay. Your intuition is your best protection. Now, if you have some kind of feeling that, you know, something's not right, that, you know, maybe you're getting a hair raising on the back of your neck, or maybe it just seems a little off, or you feel like you don't have the whole story. Anything along those lines is your first and most important indication that there could be a problem. Now, unfortunately, we are not taught to listen to our intuition, but our intuition developed over millennia to protect us from predators. So that's what it's there for. So it is important for us to really listen to our intuition. So I tell people, first of all, understand that sociopaths exist. Secondly, educate yourself about the warning signs. And third, trust your intuition, because that's how you will protect yourself.
Does this sort of behavior does it tamper down with age? Is there a correlation to any of that? What I had learned with borderline, a lot of the research and studies that I had seen at that time was that with age, it seems to tamper down a little bit. But I don't know that that's always the case.
Actually, my most recent book is called Senior Sociopaths, uh-huh. How to Spot and Avoid, I don't remember my own book, How to Recognize and Escape Lifelong Abusers.
Sure.
And the reason that I wrote the book was because there is this prevailing wisdom in the mental health field that antisocial personality disorder, which is somewhat equivalent to psychopathy, yep. Does diminish over time. Now, my ex-husband was 55 when I met him. And, you know, the experts are saying that in their 40s, you know, the antisocials, you know, and the psychopaths, they start to get, you know, calm down. They're not as bad. And this made no sense to me based on what I saw. And I know that my ex-husband continued after I divorced him. He was still, you know, going after other women. And I was hearing the same stories from plenty of other people. So I conducted research among love fraud readers. I did a survey, had like 2,400 respondents. And I specifically asked people about their experience with individuals who they believed were antisocial or psychopathic and were age 50 or older. So I collected all this data, And essentially, there were two key questions to the survey. One was, did you know this person both before and after age 50? And about half the respondents did, because they weren't only talking about romantic partners. People were talking about their parents, their siblings, family members. You know, so there was, it was about half the people knew them both before and after age 50. And then I asked, did this person antisocial behavior stay the same, improve, or get worse after age 50? 91% said the individual's antisocial behavior was just as bad or worse after age 50. So the bottom line is, no, they do not get better.
So the idea of someone sitting there going, well, maybe I'll stick around because hopefully it'll get better and they'll be this better version of themselves, that's not necessarily anywhere near reality.
No, and that's why it's so important to understand, because I've talked to plenty of people who were married to these folks for 20 and 30 and 40 years, you know, hoping and praying for change. It's not going to happen. So you want to get out of this situation, you know, before you get to the point where you're in a walker and you're stuck with the person who is not going to take care of you.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing. And it's a hard hurdle to get over, especially if you've been with someone for a long period of time, 10, 20, 30 years or longer. And you're finally realizing, oh my gosh, I'm not the crazy one. I've been, you know, painted into this corner of being paranoid or this or that, but look at what this person has conditioned me to believe. When those lights finally come on, it's a hard pill to swallow, because everybody, if you're a decent human being, you'd hope, I want to get this person help. I want them to be able to be this version of them that I thought they were, at least that they presented themselves to be. But the reality is they never were that person. That was part of the act, right?
Exactly. That was part of the act. And the other thing to understand is that there is no rehabilitation for somebody with antisocial or psychopathic personality disorder. Some of the other disorders, there may be more hope, like a particularly borderline, there may be some hope. But for antisocial, psychopathic, narcissistic, these folks are not going to change.
Yeah. Well, and I would say with that too, I mean, that it's very much, you know, it's a cluster of many different things. And that's the sad and scary thing, is that there just doesn't seem to be hope. And it's scary to have to, and sad to say, oh, I just got to write this person off, because they're never truly going to feel, I guess, or to you know, have what you want for someone to have, whether it's with you or someone else. Just that happiness, that authentic happiness. It seems that they're playing their games and running in circles, and sometimes maybe a glimpse of seeing what they wish they could feel, but they can't. And that's sad. My next question was, that is there any rehabilitation for anything like this? But everything I've ever learned was not much.
And that's true. And the thing to keep in mind, however, especially if we're talking about antisocial, psychopathic, and narcissistic disorders, a lot of these folks are perfectly content with how they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, the key to rehabilitation is that you want to change. Yeah. Well, they don't want to change. I mean, I've had people self-identify themselves as sociopaths contact me and say, we're evolution's next step. You know, we're superior. So do they want to change? No, not a bit.
That's 100% true, because if you want to change, you have to be the one that wants it. And it's almost like bred into these disorders of, don't change, you're good.
They're happy. You know, they consider themselves to be superior to the rest of us, all us stupid people with emotions and consciences that get in the way of doing, you know, what they want to do.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Donna Anderson, lovefraud.com is her website. You can find out more about her books and her experiences there. Thank you for that insight into sociopaths, their behaviors, their traits, and the scary world and the webs that they weave. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our discussions on the cases and the stories that we are following for you as we try to dig deep below the surface of all of these things, get a better understanding of the world that we live in, I guess. The people that we have to cohabitate the world with. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. Stay with us.